you want to join me in Luke chapter 2. Today we're going to call this message The Importance of Spiritual Revelation. The importance of spiritual revelation. And when I say that, I'm not talking about the book of Revelation. I'm talking about the specific revelation that the Holy Spirit would speak specifically to your own heart. Because we're living in the days and the times where people are living off the information of the Word, and they're not living off the revelation of the Word. You're going to see in today's message that there are things that God wants to speak to you specifically. There are things that are just specifically designed for your life that you must hear from heaven and put those things into practice to fulfill the plan of God. Now, if you're somebody who wants to be on the cutting edge of what God's doing in the earth today, then this message is for you. If you want to be on the cutting edge of God's plan for your life, then this message is for you. If you're somebody that actually cares about the plan of God on this earth, then this message is for you. But if you're somebody that you would prefer to stand in the shadows, so to speak, if you would prefer to, you know, sit on the sidelines, if you'd prefer just to have your fire insurance and just have happy little religion in your life, well, then this message isn't for you. Because in this message, there is a call to the people of God to pray and seek Him. Because there is a move of God that we're on the brink of here on earth. There's a move of God. There's things that God wants to do. There's things that He wants to accomplish. But He needs to find a people that will be willing to receive that move of God, that will move with Him. And unfortunately, we're living in the days and times where most churches are playing happy religion. They're playing political scientist. They're playing, you know, they got their minds into everything on this earth, and they have forgotten about the power of God. You know, they're more concerned about, you know, political things. Now, we need to, of course, be smart politically and you know, vote for righteousness and so on. But I'm talking about there are people that are more in tune with the earth than they are with heaven. We're not citizens of the earth. The Bible says in Philippians 3 and verse 20, it says, "For our citizenship is in heaven." Amen. That's the government that we should be most preoccupied with. Hallelujah. How many of you know that the government is upon the shoulders of Jesus? Yes. Praise the Lord. And there's things that He wants to do. There's moves of God that are going to be accomplished. And we have to be willing and ready to receive it. So I'll tell you what, if you're somebody that, I mean, your heart's desire is to seek the will of God, to see the will of God done on this earth, then you're going to love this message. But if you're just hanging out and hoping to get to heaven someday, let me tell you what, there is no such thing as a casual Christianity. God isn't going to permit a casual Christianity. He is not going to permit someone to just stand off to the side and watch the day go by and let everybody else do their praying for them. See, Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 7, He talks about the days when He will judge the earth, and He'll say to many people, He'll say, "I didn't know you. I don't know you." And they'll say, "But Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do many wonderful works?" And Jesus says, "Yeah, but I never knew you. I never knew you." It doesn't matter, you know, how much you do in the name of Jesus. That's not the first priority. The first priority is to know Him. And when you know Him, your feet will move. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So let's go over to Luke chapter 2. We're talking about the importance of spiritual revelation. That means divine insight that God would speak to directly to your spirit or your heart. If that word spirit makes you, you know, go woo, you know, if that weirds you out to hear someone talk about your spirit, well, just use the word heart then, because they're interchangeable. Amen. There's things that God wants to reveal specifically to you. You're going to see today that your life depends on it. There are plans for your life that are not specifically outlined in the Bible. You can't read alone. You know what I mean? You can't just read and expect to get everything you need out of there. God wants to have a communication relationship with you. See, no one thinks it's weird when you say, "Well, I talk to God." Well, there's a lot of people that talk to God. There's sinners that talk to God. There's people in the world that they'll talk to God in a time of trouble or whatever. But what we need to do, what we need to focus on, is God talking back to us. See, that's the difference between a Christian and a sinner. A sinner can talk to God, but a Christian, God talks to them. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter 2, and let's start over there in verse 21. Let's talk about the importance of spiritual revelation. Today, I'm going to give you five things that revelation does for the kingdom of God and for our lives. Now, I'll just tell you right off the beginning of this message that this isn't going to be a typical happy little sermon. You know what I mean? I'll tell you, if you want a typical happy little sermon, you're in the wrong place. If you don't want to be challenged spiritually, you're in the wrong place. You know? Because we believe here that when God gave His Son, He is going to expect a good return on that investment. Praise the Lord. Five things that spiritual revelation is going to do for the kingdom of God and for your life. Let's just read the account here. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 21. This takes place 8 days after the birth of Jesus. And remember how the Old Testament required that the boys be taken to the temple on the eighth day, that you know, their eighth day of their life, and they'd be circumcised in the temple. Well, Jesus was no different. He had to, you know, fulfill the law and so on. And so verse 21, we pick up the story, and it says, when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Remember the angel that spoke to Joseph and Mary? And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Old Testament, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Hallelujah. And it goes on to say, verse 24, it says, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Aren't you glad that you got to leave your turtle doves and your pigeons at home today? Hallelujah. Because Jesus was sacrificed for us, therefore we don't have to sacrifice animals. Jesus' blood was more than enough. Hallelujah. Verse 24 says, verse 25 says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you've prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Folks, I taught along these same lines a few months ago, and I don't think this church picked up on the urgency of the message. So we're going to reteach some things, and there's going to be some new light that God's going to give us through this message here today. We need to understand the importance of personal revelation, God revealing to our spirit, to us personally, the plan and will of God. Go over there to verse 25. So we see that when Jesus was brought in there, there was a man named Simeon who was there at the temple. Amen. And the Bible says this same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. The first thing that I want to talk to you about, the first thing that revelation will do for the kingdom and for you, it will give entrance to the move of God on earth. Number one, revelation. Meaning revelation to your spirit from God, divine insight, divine information downloaded into you, it will give entrance to the move of God on this earth. Look at there in verse 25. It says, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. I think it's very interesting that Simeon's name means hearkening or listening to. I like that. His very name was to listen to God. To hearken to God. I like that. But obviously that's just free, no charge. It says, and this same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation or the salvation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. Notice it says he was just and devout and waiting. Everyone say waiting.
Waiting.
See, we hear that word waiting, and we think it just means to allow time to elapse before something happens that we're expecting. But that's not what that word means in the original Greek. The New Testament is originally written in Greek, and that word waiting in the Greek, it means looking for, to endure, to take, to accept, or to receive. All right? He was looking for, he was enduring, taking, accepting, and receiving what God wanted to bring to this earth. Here is what we must understand. In every move of God, whether it's in your life personally or for the body of Christ in general, there must be people in place who are ready, who are looking for, they're enduring, they're there to accept or to receive that move of God on the earth. See, it's like this, it's like, you know, God wants to deliver things to this earth, but there must be someone there to sign for it. Isn't that true when the post office or a delivery service, they'll bring a package to your home and sometimes it's very valuable. And they have laws or instructions that it, with that package, if it's valuable enough, they will not just leave it on your doorstep. They will not deliver it until someone has signed for it. Because it's too valuable just to let it sit around and possibly go to waste or get stolen or get hijacked. God is the same way. He values his revelation. He values his miracles, signs, and wonders. He values the move of God on this earth. It's important to him. And he doesn't just deliver it without somebody there willing to sign for it, to accept it, to be there to receive it. Hallelujah. Simeon was being used to prepare for the entrance of the greatest move of God in that day. Which literally the greatest move of God in this earth, so to speak, the move of God in the form of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus himself could not even come to this earth until God found somebody praying and waiting and looking for to be there to accept, to be there to receive that move of God. This is where the body of Christ is so behind. God has made awesome promises to you and to me, to the body of Christ. We're supposed to be a miracle ministry. The church, I'm not just talking about family church, I'm talking about Christians. We're supposed to have the power of God on this earth. We're supposed to have the answer that the world is looking for. But we're behind because there's a lot of things that have not been able to be delivered because God can't find people who are willing to accept and to receive that move of God on this earth. Aren't you glad Simeon was there? We owe our salvation in a small part to this man's faithfulness.
That's right. Yeah.
Absolutely. Say, well, no, Jesus was going to come no matter what. It was the plan of God. But how many of you know the plan of God can get aborted if man does not get on board with his plan? That's absolutely right. Hallelujah. Here, let me show you this. Let me show you this somewhere else in the Bible just so you know that this is a truth of the Word of God. Hold your place there in Luke chapter 2 and go over to Acts chapter 1. Amen. Prepare or give entrance to the move of God on this earth or to the move of God in your life. Simeon was there praying. And I like how it says he was there waiting, he was looking for, he was enduring until he could receive or accept or take the move of God that God had planned for the earth. Hallelujah. He had to endure a little bit. You know, I tell you what, there's going to be a time where you put your flesh under and you pray even when your body doesn't like it. Even when your mind would rather do something else, you're going to need to seek God. Hallelujah. You're going to have to put your flesh under. You're going to have to tell your mind no. You're going to have to make time and make it a priority. Shuffle your schedule. Do what you got to do, but make that time to be with God. Because he wants to move on your life. He wants to move in this church. He wants to move in this city. He wants to move in this county. But it's our job to know what he wants to do. To be there to receive it. Notice Simeon knew what God. He was looking for the consolation or the salvation. He was looking for the Messiah. He knew that the Messiah was about to show up.
That's right.
Right? Didn't God tell Abraham, should I hide that which what I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham will be such a great nation, right? Over there in Genesis chapter 18. God doesn't hide things from his people.
Right. Amen.
The Bible says that the coming of the Lord, the second coming of the Lord, will not come on Christians as a thief.
Right.
You know when it says in the Word that the day of the Lord will come as a thief? You know, that's written to people who don't know God. But the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it tells us that we Christians, we walk in the day. We walk in the light. It says that day won't come on Christians like a thief. You can know and anticipate and know the season. We won't know the day or the hour. But you can interpret the season of what God is wanting to do, what He's about to bring on the earth. And a lot of Christians, we're walking around, we have no clue what God wants to do. Let me tell you what God wants to do. Are you ready? It's real simple. He wants to demonstrate and manifest His power so that the world would see His love, so that people would come to Christ to know that Jesus is the one and only Savior, to confirm His word, to confirm His salvation with miracles, signs, and wonders. That's the plan of God. So that the world has a major wake-up call and they look and they say, oh my goodness, it is God. God is moving. God is alive on this earth. Hallelujah. That's what God wants to do. He wants to get the attention of the world to demonstrate His love and His power to them. Go to Acts chapter 1, and let's go to verse 4 and 5. Remember when the Holy Ghost came? Right? 50 days after the Passover, Pentecost, Penti meaning 50, 50 days later. And so here we go. We read verse 4. Remember what Jesus told the disciples? It says, in being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded, everyone say commanded.
Commanded.
Commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. So he told them, he said, go into Jerusalem. Don't leave there until the move of God shows up in the form of the Holy Ghost. Go to Jerusalem and be willing to receive and to accept and to take the move of God on the earth. You're in Acts chapter 1. Go over to verse 13. Let's read verses 13 and 14. It says, when they were come in, this is Jesus, the disciples, and actually 120 believers that had become believers and stayed faithful to Christ even through His death, burial, and resurrection, all right? In verse 13, it says, when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. So all the 11 at this point, because Judas is gone. Are living together in this upper room, and it says there's 120 of them all together. In verse 14, it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and in supplication. There were 10 days that passed between when Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, and when the power of the Holy Ghost fell there on that day on Pentecost. What were they doing in those 10 days? Were they just sitting around waiting, you know, just sitting there? No, they got into prayer. They prayed. They sought God. They had the sense to understand. Jesus told us that God was bringing a mighty move upon the earth. Let's have sense enough to go and be people that can receive that move of God.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Amen. They had a 10-day prayer meeting. See, we love to go over to Acts chapter 2 and read about how the day of Pentecost fully come, and they are all one place, one accord. And there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the place where they were sitting, and there appeared over them cloven tongues of fire, right? And it sat upon each of them, filled the entire house, and they all began to, you know, and they're all filled with the Spirit, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. We love to read that scripture. But what gave entrance to that power? 10 days of prayer. Now, there's nothing special about praying for 10 days, but if it would have been 10, if it would have been 12, if it would have been 5, if it would have been 100, they were going to be willing to pray. I'll tell you what, it's time for the church. It's time for this church to wake up and start praying, because there is something that God wants to do here. There's a move of God in the Spirit for this church, for this community, for this county, for the entire body of Christ worldwide. And we don't want to be sitting behind the curve.
No.
We want to be on the curve. We want to be right where God is doing, right?
That's right.
His biggest signs and wonders. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we see this in the Word. Go back over there to Luke chapter 2. So the first thing that Revelation does, it gives entrance to the move of God on this earth. Revelation will only come to those who look for it. A lack of prayer is a lack of faith in who the Holy Ghost is and what He does. When you won't pray, if you don't pray, it's because you aren't trusting God to speak revelation into your heart. Because Jesus told me in John 16, verse 13, He says, "Howbeit, when He, the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. He will speak what He hears from the Father, and He will show you things to come."
Yes, that's right, that's right.
Jesus said He was going to show me things to come. Everyone say, revelation.
Revelation.
Divine knowledge that you could not have obtained naturally. Jesus said that relationship with the Holy Ghost is spending time with God and the Spirit of God talking to you, divine insight for your life, divine insight for this church, divine insight for this community, divine insight what He wants to do with you and through you. Hallelujah. But you have to believe and use your faith that the Holy Ghost is going to do what Jesus said He's going to do.
Yes.
I get into prayer and I say, "Lord, I believe the Holy Ghost gives me revelation.
Yes.
I believe that God has granted to me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him according to Ephesians 1, 16 and 17.
That's right.
You got to believe that.
That's right.
See, this is what people, they've turned prayer into a work. Well, I got a duty to do. I got to go say my prayers. And what most people are doing is that they're praying for themselves. And they're wasting their time.
Come on.
I'm not there. It's okay to pray for what you need for and whatever. But I mean, that should be such a minor part of it. The priority is to be there to get the revelation of God so I know that I'm always in the perfect will of God. So that I can give entrance. So that when God speaks to me, that I'll have an assignment.
Yes.
And to do that instruction so the move of God can take place on the earth.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, this can happen in so many little ways. God can speak to you and tell you to talk to somebody in the grocery store. He can speak to you and tell you to give to a ministry or to give to someone personally. He can speak to you and tell you to serve in the church. He can speak to you and tell you to do something nice for your spouse. He can speak to you, you know, and give you some instruction,
right.
You know, and it might seem small, but you want to obey that because there's other things attached to it.
Yes. Amen.
Last night I was in the Reverend Chris D'Amico service up in the Fredonia Church, and he got done preaching, and there was things that the Spirit of God wanted to do, and I was sitting there, and the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, "I want you to get down on your knees and start praying." Well, no one else is on their knees praying, and then all of a sudden I got that, I heard that, speaking, you know, on the inside of me. And you know, how many of you know that your natural mind will start wrestling? Well, people are going to think you're trying to just be Mr. Holy up there. People are going to think that you're just doing something. You're going to think that, you know, you wrestle with it. You say, "No, be quiet, mind." And as those reasonings were going through my head, I noticed off to my right, across the aisle, Pastor Michael was already kneeling there. I'm thinking, well, man, my goodness, God probably told him the same exact thing. And I wrestled with it in my mind. I was like, "Well, man, now people are just going to think I'm just trying to copy Pastor Michael." How many of you know that the carnal mind will wrestle with you? The longer you stand in the ring with the mind, the longer it's going to beat you up. You don't even need to be in the same ring with the mind.
Come on.
I'm not going to get in there. And so so all of a sudden, you know, the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, "I've commanded you to do that because there's things in the service that I want to take place. But I need someone just to obey me in something." Oh, dear Lord, I got right down on my knees as soon as I hear that. See, sometimes you take for granted those little instructions, but it has nothing to do with that little thing. It has everything to do with some bigger move.
Yeah. Come on.
God was telling me, "Listen, I just gave you a command because I can move in an atmosphere of obedience."
Yeah.
It wasn't that I prayed the power into that room. I didn't pray the power into that room. But God gave a little instruction, And if he can find an atmosphere of obedience, he can move in that.
Yes.
It might seem strange for all of a sudden someone just to drop, you know, to their knees in the middle of a service. You know, as Reverend Chris was getting things in his heart that God wanted him to do in that service, you know, the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to kneel down, start praying. You know.
Amen.
Now, how many of you know that those instructions like that are always going to be in line with the Word? If you all of a sudden, if you jump up and interrupt this sermon and say, well, God told me, he just wanted me to shout something out and I had something for the whole congregation, well, now you're violating the Word and God would never have you violate the Word.
That's right. That's right.
So you need to first know the Word.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
The Word will keep you straight.
Amen.
Yeah, amen. That revelation, that instruction that God gives to you is going to give entrance to a greater move of God on the earth. Hallelujah. Notice there in verse 25, over there in Luke chapter 2, in verse 25, it says that the Holy Ghost was upon him. The Holy Ghost was upon him. How many of you know the Holy Ghost isn't just upon us? He's on the inside of us. If revelation could come to this man, who is basically living in the Old Testament,
right,
if the Holy Ghost can be upon him, how much more, how easier should it be for us with the Holy Ghost on the inside of us? Hallelujah. I expect when I pray to get revelation. I know that God's going to talk to me.
Amen.
You know, if he doesn't talk to me in the first 5 minutes, I don't quit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If he doesn't talk to me in the first 15 minutes, I don't quit praying.
Amen.
Because how many of you know sometimes you got to drill a little while before you hit the gusher?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, come
people on. That are in the gas and oil business, they don't drill 10 feet into the ground expecting to hit a gusher of oil. They drill, and at 100 feet, they don't stop.
That's right.
And at 200 feet, they don't stop. And they keep going, and they keep going, and then the gusher will come. And it's those gushers that keep them in that business. It's those gushers that keep them coming back wanting for more. It's the same thing in the Spirit. As you get down in there, and as you spend time and you press in, you hit a gusher one time, it's going to hook you. You are going to want to get right back, because when you get a taste of God like that, nothing else will ever satisfy you. Nothing else will ever satisfy you. The reason why so many of God's people today, they are so disinterested because they've never gotten one taste of God. And yet we have our little pictures, we have our little doilies with Psalm 34 verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And we get it all religious. See, a lot of Christians, they never even tasted. They get in there, they spend, 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. They don't get any, they don't have an encounter with the living God, and their appetite goes unsatisfied. They never had their appetite stirred. I'll tell you what, it's an awesome thing when God speaks to you. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, it's awesome. Yeah, sometimes you might have to pray there for an hour. Sometimes it's just like, you get an hour in and you still haven't heard something. And when you pray a little more, we got to press in.
Yes.
That's when revelation comes. You know, yesterday the Lord spoke to me while I was on the elliptical. We have an elliptical exercise machine. I don't use it as much as I probably should. But yesterday I just felt inspired. I said, I'm going to get on that thing. I'm going to run on that thing for 20 minutes. And I don't know what it is about an elliptical, but man, that thing really... I mean, it works me out. It takes me like 12 minutes to run a mile on that thing. When I can go out and jog, I can run like an 8.5-minute mile just at my normal jogging pace. And for some reason, I get on that and my stride is shorter. And I mean, I sweat way more. So I'm on this elliptical, and I had purpose in my heart to go a mile on it. When I go jogging, I usually do at least two. You know, in a mile, it just didn't seem like a big deal. But man, on that thing, for some reason, it is. And so I got on that thing, and I got to a mile, and I got done, and I had several more minutes or whatever, and I got thinking, I'm done. I reached, my place where I'm happy or satisfied. And the Lord spoke to me and said, keep going, run for a full 20 minutes, and don't stop until it's 20 minutes. Well, I don't get it. I accomplished my goal. But the Lord spoke to me and said, yeah, I know, but this is what pressing in is. When you go beyond your own plan.
Yeah, yeah.
This is what to press in means. When you purpose to say, I'm going to spend the next half hour in prayer, I'm going to spend the next hour in prayer, that's wonderful. But do you know what pressing in is? Is when you go beyond what your own expectations. When you press in. The Lord spoke to me. I was like, I'm happy with a mile. He said, yeah, but I want you to keep going. And so I kept going, and the Lord spoke to me again. I said, this is what it is, pressing in. Because you did what you knew you could do.
Yeah.
It was easy for you to get to that mile. Where the real growth now is going to be is everything after it. Everything after it is going to be where you are pushing yourself. You are pressing in. You're going somewhere you haven't gone before. And I am ashamed to say that I have not spent 20 consecutive minutes on the elliptical before. It's usually 15 minutes at most, you know. I mean, a mile or a mile and a quarter or whatever. And I went another 5 minutes. And you think, well, what's the big deal about 5 minutes? Well, you know what? To me, it is, all right? It stopped raining on my parade. That was extra. And, you know, when your body is just wanting to be done and your body's screaming loud, get off, you're done.
Yeah.
You know, it took what I had to keep going. The same thing is true spiritually. You know, you'll get to a point and say, well, I reached my expectation. But pressing in is going beyond your expectation.
Yes.
Glory to God. Amen. It's in that extra push is when all the goodies are going to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. I better get moving because we have 5 points to get to. Revelation will give entrance to the move of God on this earth. Simeon was sensitive enough to be looking to receive the next move of God, which happened to be Jesus himself. Praise God. Now we're there in verse 25. And it says the Holy Ghost was upon him. I think, man, this guy's getting revelation of the plan of God, and the Holy Ghost isn't even in him. God, I expect more than what Simeon had.
Yes.
I have a greater measure of the Spirit than this man had. I expect to know more, to hear more. I expect greater revelation than what this man even had.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Verse 26. It says, and it was revealed unto Simeon by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Notice, this is the second thing that Revelation is going to do. It's going to dictate how you live. It's going to dictate how you die. Isn't that the truth for Simeon? It was revealed unto him, not unto them, unto him. It was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he, not they, he should not see death. Meaning death could not kill him.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there was an instruction of the Holy Ghost that he was willing to pursue. Notice he had no scripture to tell him. Right?
Right.
This prophecy or this revelation, it was personal to his life. Do you see that? There was no scripture that would ever tell him that.
That's right.
There's no minister that could ever tell him that. There's no pastor. There's no Bible. There's no New York, you know, best-selling book on the market that could tell him that. There was an information there that only one source could give to him, and that's the Holy Ghost. It was a personal prophecy about how he was going to live and how he was going to die. Notice that death was being withheld by the Holy Ghost because there was an instruction of God and he was willing to pursue it. Listen to me. You are basically immortal as long as there's an instruction of the Holy Ghost and you're willing to pursue it. You understand that? You understand what I mean by that? I went to that church down there and the pastor said that we're immortal. No, I'm making an illustration. That death cannot move in, destruction cannot move in. It'll be withheld by the Spirit when there's an instruction and you're willing to pursue it and to give entrance to the move of God. Do you see that? God said that it was revealed by the Holy Ghost. He would not see death. Death could not have its way.
That's right.
If you have an instruction of God, and you're willing to pursue it. Praise the Lord. Death is withheld by the Holy Ghost as long as a person is giving diligence to pursue what was revealed in their own hearts, to look for and to accomplish it. Death would have had permission to destroy Simeon if he didn't pursue the revelation he received. He received divine revelation that he needed to be looking for the Christ. If he wouldn't have been diligent to pray, to seek that out, to look for it, to wait for it, to receive that, death could have moved in. This is what's happening to so many of God's people. They don't care about their prayer life. They don't care about praying. They don't care. And since they didn't receive the revelation, they couldn't pursue and obey the instruction of God to them personally. And by being obsolete like that, seriously, think about it. If you aren't gonna pursue the plan and will of God, if you aren't gonna be one who cares about the move of God's kingdom on this earth, then there's no purpose for you on this earth. Then you might as well be in heaven.
That's right.
Yeah. That's it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Right? What good? Do you ever wonder why when you get saved you didn't go right to heaven? Why not? We're saved. If that is the gist of it, to just live with God eternally, if that was everything, then why doesn't God just take us to heaven the moment we get saved? Because he has a plan down here, and he needs people that will pursue and seek that plan so he can deliver it. The moment you make up your mind that you aren't going to receive the plan and will of God, you become obsolete. What happens to a body part in your natural body when it becomes obsolete? They remove it. Now, I'm not saying that God comes and kills his people, but what they do is they give death and destruction entrance because they never saw it. They never got the information that they personally needed. They never pursued the revelation of God that they personally needed, and death and destruction is given entrance because the Holy Ghost holds that back for the plan of God's sake. Do you see, I don't pray to meet a quota with God. I don't pray so he'll love me more. He loves me already. I pray to get the revelation, to get the divine insight that I need to know to accomplish the plan of God on this earth for the kingdom and for my own life and for my family and people around me. Hallelujah. I need to know that personal insight that God has for me because there's no scripture that's going to give it to me.
That's right.
There's no person that's going to give it to me. There's no education that's going to give it to me.
That's right.
I have to get in. I have to press in and hear from God myself.
That's right.
I have to get quiet. And if I have to dig for a half hour, I'm going to dig for a half hour.
Yes.
And if I have to dig for an hour, I'm going to dig for an hour. If I have to dig for 2 hours, I'm going to dig for 2 hours because this revelation dictated how this man lived and how he died. It dictated when he lived and when he died. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If you don't care about divine instruction to you, then you are willing for destruction. Without instruction, there's destruction. You understand that? If you don't receive divine instruction to God, from God to you personally, and if you don't pursue that and do the word of God in your heart, see, faith will obey the written word, but faith will also obey the word of God to your heart. The word of the Lord. How many of you have read back there in the Old Testament, in Isaiah, and Ezekiel, and Daniel, and they'd say, the word of the Lord came unto me saying.
Yes.
You should have experiences like that.
Amen.
Doesn't make you a prophet.
Right.
But the word of the Lord should come to all of us saying.
Right.
The word of the Lord spoke to me. Told me to take a different way home. Told me not to buy that car. The word of the Lord told me that I need to be doing this in the church.
Yeah.
The word of the Lord told me to bless so-and-so. The word of the Lord told me to give myself more to prayer. The word of the Lord told me to quit this job. The word of the Lord told me to take this job.
Yes.
The word of the Lord told me to go to school. The word of the Lord told me not to go to school.
Right.
The word of the Lord.
Yes, right.
You need it. I can't give it to you. You got to go get it for yourself. It's not just based on, it's not just for yourself. It's the entire body of Christ needs it. Hallelujah. The third thing, let's keep on reading here. We're in verse 26. It says, it was revealed unto him. I just take that verse, I make it mine. I say, I thank you, Father God, it's revealed unto me.
Yes.
It's revealed. Yes. See, I got to live. I can't live on information. I got to live on revelation.
Amen.
Glory to God. Verse 27, it says, and Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple. Don't you love it when people come into God's house by the Spirit? That's what church should be. Some of you say, well, I'm here because I'm under compulsion to be here. Well, then you didn't come by the Spirit. You came by compulsion, or you came grudgingly. We should come into the temple by the Spirit, with the Spirit, for the Spirit. And that means that literally the Spirit of God had revealed to him, hey, you need to be here on this day. The third thing that Revelation is going to do, it's going to put you in the path of blessing. It's going to put you in the path of blessing. Notice this was a one-day event in Jesus' life.
That's right.
Jerusalem was a metropolis, a huge place, and he's looking for 1 8-day-old baby. The Spirit said, you need to be here. Go over here, stand right here. And what I promised you is going to come walking in. Don't you love how the Holy Ghost will put you just a little ahead of the blessing and plan of God? He'll say, no, move right here because it's coming. You want to get in the way of that, and it's going to land right into your life. Because you were in the right place at the right time because you followed the Spirit of God. Notice when Jesus was brought in, guess who was already there? Simeon. He said, by the Spirit. He said, oh, this is where I'm supposed to be.
Yes.
And he walked in and said, well, I don't see what I'm looking for yet, but I know it's coming.
Yes. Amen.
Don't you think that God has put you into some places where you haven't seen the blessing and the promises yet, but you know it's coming. It's coming because this is where God told me to be. This is what he told me to do. And he has moved me right into the pathway of oncoming blessing. Hallelujah. Praise God. He came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, meaning Simeon's already there. So many times people are running to catch up with the blessing of God when God says, I want to move you there ahead of time and let the blessing hit you.
Yes.
The Bible doesn't say we will chase down blessing. The Bible says in Psalm 23, verse 6, it says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
God's people, I'm trying to catch up to the blessing. I'm running and hopefully I can grab onto the bumper of that blessing. God says, no. I'll move you out ahead of that blessing, and it will follow you. It'll chase you down. God said to the children of Israel over there in Deuteronomy chapter 1, chapter 28, verse 1, he said, if you will be diligent to hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to do all that which he has commanded you to observe and to do all of his commandments this day, he said, you will be set high above all the nations of the earth. You will a blessing will come upon you and overtake you. Meaning that blessing is chasing you down and it's going to overtake you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, revelation will put you in that place. You need to know, this is where God has me. This is what he's told me to do. And I believe the blessing is going to walk in. Hallelujah. Praise God. The third thing that revelation will do, will keep you in the way of blessing and influence. Now remember, he wasn't just there to see Christ. Simeon was going to prophesy. Think about the honor God bestowed upon this man. God said, I want you to be the one to hold Jesus as an 8-day-old. I want you to be the one to pick him up and bless him. You think about the honor that God gave Simeon. He said, I want you to be there. Because you're the one that's been looking diligently. You've been the one waiting and willing to accept the move of God. You've been praying and contending for the move of God. You've been contending for the works of God on this earth. I want you to be the one to hold my baby son. I want you to bless him. I want you to prophesy over his earthly parents. I want you to be the one to take this influence and to have more responsibility. God's saying, I trust you because you're a person of prayer. You have sought for it. You've contended for it. I trust you. Here, you hold him. People say, well, you know, there's some people that try to make Mary a god or a goddess. You know, but here she was being prophesied over by a man who was just led by the Spirit. And he had the word from heaven for her. Clearly, Mary wasn't divine or anything like that. She needed the word from Simeon, right? Hallelujah. Keep you in the way of blessing. Glory to God. This was a specific moment. Think about how easily it could have been missed. If you would have been in any other part of that huge city, you would have missed it.
That's right.
Think about what a specific moment where he had to be exactly to bump into Jesus. Obviously, he didn't just bump into him, you understand. I mean, there was a million people in Jerusalem even in those days. A million. He's looking for one baby.
That's right.
He was in the right place at the right time. Think of how easily we can miss stuff. Think about how easy it is for you to miss things. Yeah. You'll miss them if you're not getting revelation. If you are out of the will of God, if you have missed revelation, if you're sitting here today and you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know, God just doesn't seem to talk to me. I don't hear the voice of God. I pray and pray and pray, and it's never obvious to me. Well, if you feel that you are out of the will of God at all, you need to go back to the last instruction he gave you. You need to go back to the last conviction you had, and you need to perform that duty.
Amen.
If God convicted you about tithing 6 months ago, and you're still not tithing, right? How he can't talk to you. He's not going to give you any further instruction until you've performed that which he told you to do. Maybe you were convicted to forgive somebody. Maybe you were convicted to, you know, watch your words or to, you know, stop with vulgar language. Or you were convicted to lay down a vice. Or you were convicted to lay down, you know, wrong entertainment. Or to put aside a hobby, to spend more time with God. You know, and yet if you don't do those things, but yet you were enlightened or convicted to do those things, God has no further instruction for you. He's not going to talk to you. You got to go back to the last conviction that you had. The last thing that he told you to do, you need to do it. Because there's not going to be any more revelation until you go back to the last thing he told you to do.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, the last 2 points should go quick. We're fixing to close. We are saying that to keep you interested for a few more minutes. Listen, I tell you what, you need this message way more than you need lunch. You need this message way more than you need to get to that. I don't even know if there's football on today or when it's on or whatever. But I tell you what, some of you are telling me the times. Well, 4 o'clock, well, praise God, we got plenty of time before 4 o'clock. I tell you what, you need this word more than you need a football game. You need it more than you need lunch. You need it more than anything. Well, pastor's going to go late today. Well, what's new around here? If you want a 60-minute church service, what good are you going to do in 60-minute church service? Outside of our Christmas service, which was 70 minutes, and that did a lot of good. Praise the Lord. Now go back down there to verse 27. It says he came by the Spirit into the temple. He held Jesus. Verse 28, it says, then Simeon took Jesus up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace according to your word. Here's the fourth thing that revelation will do for you and for the kingdom of God. It will allow you to recognize divine potential. How did he recognize the Messiah at 8 days old? Jesus never laid hands on anybody yet. He never performed one miracle. He haven't even fed himself yet. He recognized, here's what Revelation will do for you. You'll recognize greatness in its infancy stages. You'll recognize greatness in the stages of infancy. This is what will give you the patience with your pastor, with your church, with your Christian friends. Listen, there's a lot of people out there that aren't doing exactly right, but there's great potential in them. And you need to be patient with them. There's people that are sitting in this room right now. I mean, I sense the call of God on you. I sense the call of God. You know? And yeah, there might be some stuff in your life that ain't just right, but I don't sit there and look at that stuff. I say there's divine potential right there. And just because it's in its infancy stage. See, we think that greatness just happens overnight. It doesn't. Greatness is something that people grow into. And when you have that revelation on the inside of you and you've tuned your spirit and you've gotten spiritually mature, you aren't going to be willing to throw any Christian under the bus. Right. You're not going to just start saying, oh, they're not good enough, they're not good enough, they're not good. Well, they got this in their life and they got this in their life. Be patient. Amen. There's divine potential there. Glory to God. He recognized the plan of God in its infant stages, and the Pharisees couldn't recognize the move of God in its full flow.
That's right.
The Pharisees couldn't recognize Jesus at 33 years
That's
old.
Right. That's right.
They couldn't recognize him even when he was performing miracles, raising the dead, healing the sick. They couldn't recognize him even when he performed the miracles. Simeon recognized him when he was 8 days old. This ability to discern and recognize the divine potential. Do you realize the divine potential that is sitting in this place right now? I mean, you look across a sanctuary that's nearly filled right up, and you think, well, you know, there's you know, a few hundred people here or whatever, and we think, well, that's pretty good, and in all this, do you realize the Bible says one can put 1,000 to flight? Two can put 10,000 to flight? What about 400? What if every seat in this church was filled with a Christian seeking the move and plan of God? What if this church, what if you were winning people in your jobs and in your family? What if you were witnessing? What if every person was actively caring for the kingdom of God on this earth? What could be the potential? I'll tell you what, there's enough potential in this room right now to change not only this city, not this county, not just this country. It could change the world. Could be a beacon to the whole world where people say, man, I got to get to Chautauqua County because there's a miracle ministry there. There is a group of people that are seeking God, and God is confirming his word with signs following. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, if you have it in your mind that this is it, this isn't it. This isn't all that God wants to do. Because this church is still so young and there's so much to do. There's some people that say, well, I don't want the church to get any bigger. Well, you are not on the heart of God then. People say, I liked it when it was a smaller church. You better be careful for saying that. You don't want to find yourself fighting the plan of God. What, you want God's family to be smaller? You want God to go without the precious fruits of the earth? It's not ever acceptable to say, I hope my church is smaller. It's not okay. You find yourself falling into judgment doing that. Because basically you just told God, I hope that less people get saved. God said, I invested my son to get them saved. If you're at that point where you're hoarding your own special interest in the church and you'd rather have a little quiet thing and just have your little social clique or whatever, at the time when you should have been grown up, when you should have been spiritually mature to go out and to invest in people, you're still at a place where you're just trying to keep your own little clique together. And people are wondering, well, I don't understand it. I'm getting subtracted from. I'm getting subtracted from. Money's going, jobs going, vehicles going. All this stuff is leaving me, and I don't know why. I'll tell you why. Because if you find yourself against the growth of the kingdom of God, you're going to lay yourself open to subtraction. Hallelujah! Glory to God. Because the Spirit of God will always speak to you in the realm of potential. Yes. If I could get the whole city of Jamestown in this building, I would. I want everyone to hear. I want everyone to be discipled and trained and hear the Word and grow under the Word. There's something wrong when someone says, I don't know. This is getting, you know, too big. See, you're thinking about it for you. You should, the Bible says, he that will have friends must show himself friendly. You should desire, you know what, I want more to come in so I can invest in that one, and I can invest in that one. More people come in, just more people to love.
That's right. Amen.
People say, well, now that it's smaller or it's bigger, it loses its friendly home feel. No. The Bible says that God has named the family in heaven and in earth. You think heaven's going to... What are you going to do when you get up there with billions of Christians? The Bible says that the city of God is 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles long, and 1,500 miles wide. It's like a giant cube. Literally, 1,500 miles in each direction. And there's going to be billions of people in it. You aren't going to be saying, well, I wish there was less people here. You know, this just—I get to heaven. It just doesn't have a homey feel. Come on now, Spirit of God will always speak to you. See what happens when people say, "Well, it just doesn't have that friendly feel anymore." See what's happened was that greater responsibility came to a church. And each of the seats or each of the members of the church had a greater responsibility to love and to help receive those people. And say, see, when you're putting out like that, you have to let go of your selfish demands. And when a person refuses to do that, they were using that emotional side of the church as their crutch.
You're right.
I'm not here for an emotional crutch. I'm not here to find somebody to make me feel better. Jesus makes me feel better. Glory to God. And if you're here today, and if you're getting your feet stepped on, good. Because I've had people, and I'll tell you what, it's more than one, so I'm not preaching to one. I've had a lot of people say that to me before. You know, the church isn't the same. I liked it when there was a lot less of us. Ooh. You don't want to find yourself saying that. You don't want to find yourself saying that. Amen. And the fifth thing and the last thing that Revelation will do, you're in Luke 2. Verse 28, he says, then Simeon took up Jesus in his arms, blessed God, and said, Lord, now let thou thy servant depart in peace according to your word. Why do you want divine revelation? Why is it absolutely necessary for you personally? Because you must fulfill the plan and the will of God to have a peaceful departure. So you might be sitting here today in your 20s or 30s or your teens or something, and you know, you could be, you know, and of course even maybe a little older than that, and you're not really thinking of death. I tell you what, folks, I have been in hospital rooms where the person died 2 minutes after I walked out of the door. I have been in hospital rooms and led people to Christ where they were speaking through a ventilator with a tube down their throat, and the only thing they could do is talk out of one little portion of their mouth as I led them to Christ just moments before they died. I've been in situations, I've been with people that were taking their last breaths. I've been there, and I've seen people that depart peacefully, and I've seen people depart not peacefully. And the reason why people don't depart peacefully is because they did not fulfill their course. There was stuff left undone. Simeon had divine insight into knowing. See, the closer you get to that realm, the easier it will be for you to transition into that realm. It shouldn't be some hard thing to transition into eternity. The reason why people have a hard time transitioning because they're holding on to this life, because there's things left undone in this life. He would not be able to depart in peace until he knew he finished his course. If he would have missed that divine appointment that day, if he wouldn't have been in that temple by the Spirit to have that day to see the Lord's Christ, he would not have departed in peace. He would have held on to life while death would have come in and taken him without him finishing his course. I've seen it. God is merciful. I've had to pray in hospital rooms knowing that somebody, I've seen people labor in death. I'm sure some of you have too. It's not fun. I've seen people where, I mean, they're laboring. I mean, everything about them, the doctors even say they should be dead. And I don't get while they're still alive. Their body is still functioning, but they should be dead by now, naturally speaking.
Right.
I had to go into a hospital room one time, and somebody was praying and laboring, and it was going on for days. And the family was just beside themselves. We got to get this. This has got to be ended. And I pulled all the family out of the room. I said, I know how we can do it. God's merciful. I said, if I go in there and pray, I'm going to release her spirit, and she will be gone within 2 hours. And they said, well, we and a lot of the family had disagreements, but we don't want her to go. I want her to go. I don't want her to go. And I said, you all have to get in agreement right now, because if she's staying, she's staying, because some of you are trying to keep her here. So they all got in agreement. One by one, they went in, and they said, mom, grandma, or whoever, you can go. It's okay to go. And once everyone did that, I went in and I said, Lord, I release her spirit. Have mercy on her, Father. She's going through the jaws of death because I know there's unfulfilled things in her life. But I release her spirit. And don't you know, within an hour and a half, she was gone. Yeah. Because God's merciful. But you don't want to have a transition like that. See, the closer you are, I mean, take Brother Hagin, for example. You know, almost 87 years old, was sitting there at the breakfast table, looked up, looked over at his wife, gave her a nice smile, his head went down, and he went home to be with God. He didn't labor, just went. See, the Bible says that God will satisfy you with long life and show you his salvation. God wants you satisfied when you depart. I want to be satisfied. Can we bring up 2 Timothy chapter 4? Let's bring that up real quick. Verse 7, this is what Paul said at the end of his life. 2 Timothy is the last letter that the Apostle Paul ever wrote. He was probably beheaded a day or two after he wrote this. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. Notice he didn't say, I finished the course. I finished my course. There was a specific plan for him that he had to fulfill. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. That's what you want to be saying when it's time to depart. That's what Simeon was saying. Now I can go. There's no further instruction of the Holy Ghost. I fulfilled the revelation that God spoke to me personally. Now I can transition in peace. God never wanted death to be a hard transition for you.
Amen.
He wanted it to be a peaceful, satisfied transition. And the closer you live to this world, the harder it will be to go into that one. The closer you live to that world, the easier it will be to go into that one.
Yes.
So these are five things that that personal revelation will do for the kingdom of God and for you. It'll give entrance to the move of God on the earth. It'll dictate how you live and how you die. It'll keep you in the way of blessing and influence. It'll allow you to recognize divine potential. It'll provide a peaceful departure. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How are you going to know if you don't pray? How are you going to get this divine revelation unless you pray? See, this is why we pray. It's not about doing the duty to make God happy. It's not about following a law. It's about seeking the will of God. Did you get some help here today? So what do? You leave here and say, well, I leave here today with a whole new purpose, a whole new drive to be a person of prayer.
Amen.
Pray. Pray. You might say, well, Pastor Tim, I don't know how to pray. Well, stick around. We'll teach you. We'll teach you how to pray. And until then, just talk to God like you would anyone. The Bible says worship Him. Just tell Him how good He is and how faithful He is. Pray for His will to be done.
Yes.
Do the general things until you learn the specific things. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love You. We praise You. Father, You're so good. Thank You for this word. Lord, we thank You today. That, Lord, that Your will has been done in this service. The message that You had for us was delivered today.
Yes.
Father, thank You. This is a motivation to pray. Father, to humble ourselves, to seek You, put our flesh under, endure, to look for, to accept, to take and receive the move of God on this earth. Father, You did not send Jesus until someone was there to receive Him. You did not send the Holy Ghost until someone was there praying, receiving Him. Why would any of the lesser moves of God be any different? When I say lesser, just in terms of Jesus and the Holy Ghost, obviously there's not going to be another move specifically like those. Lord, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You for the Holy Ghost. But we know that there's a lot more that You want to do. And how much more are we going to have to be ready and willing to accept it? Be ready to receive it. And Father God, we are going to step up and we're going to pray. We're going to be people that are desiring and we care about the will of God on this earth. And we want to be on the cutting edge of what You're doing. Father, we love You and praise You in Jesus' name. With all heads bowed, with every eye closed, no one looking around. Before we dismiss today, I just need to ask you the most important question you'll be ever asked in your life. What have you done with Jesus? That's what you'll hear before the throne of God. God is not going to ask you how many communions you've taken. God's not going to ask you how many classes or confirmations you've had. He's not going to ask you how many times you've taken communion. Those things are important. But the first question is going to be, what have you done with Jesus? Have you left Him in literature? Or have you brought Him into your heart and in your life where your decisions are dictated by the thought of Him and by His words and His will? In His commands. I'm not going to leave Jesus on the pages. I'm going to bring Him into my heart and live like Him. I'm going to serve Him to please Him. There's no such thing as an inconvenience for Him. There's no such thing. It's just not an option to go any other way. If you're here this morning and you could say, yeah, Pastor Tim, I've never made Jesus my Lord. I've never made that decision. I've never given in my life. I'm not asking you to perform a ritual. I'm asking you to trust your life to Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that, today is your day. Today is a day of salvation for you. Today, if that's you, I'm not going to embarrass you, meaning I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to bring you down front to talk to the church or anything. But if you need Jesus in your heart today and you know it, I'm going to simply ask you to lift a hand. Once I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I'll lead this entire congregation into prayer. You can pray with all of your sincere heart right there in your seat and make Jesus your Lord. If that's you now and you know you need Jesus in your heart, if you're unsure about your eternal destiny, please lift your hand now high enough so I can see it. I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anybody else? You just know. Let me tell you, the words you're hearing now are the most important words you'll ever hear. You need eternal life. You need to come to Jesus. You need to give your life to Him and start learning about Him. The Bible says in Romans 10:9 that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, if you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. If that's you today and you'd like to be saved, lift your hand now, please. I see that. Those hands you can put. I see those hands. You can put them down. Those three more hands right there. People wanting to know Jesus. God is so merciful. You say, well, Pastor Tim, what do I do? How do I do this? All you have to do is mean it. Isn't it that simple? Just mean it. Doesn't mean you're going to do everything just right from this day forward. You're going to need help. You're going to need to learn. You're going to need to renew your mind. But just be sincere right now. Be sincere. Let's all pray this together. If you lifted your hand, speak these words with us right out of your mouth. This room is filled with people that have made this decision. No one's going to ridicule you. We're going to rejoice with you. Speak these words out of your heart. Everyone pray this. Say, Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Yeah, you can clap for that. You know, I'll tell you what, that's what church is all about. People getting saved, people being taught. If you're here today and you just made Jesus the Lord of your life, I encourage you, go ahead, find one of these cards right here in the seat pocket in front of you. I encourage you, mean business with Jesus. Mean it. And this card allows us to declare that we've made Jesus our Lord. Find it, go ahead, fill out your name in there. You know, before you leave, give it to somebody. Give it to me. Give it to Pastor Brad. Give it to one of the ushers. Give it to one of your friends here that maybe invited you to church. You know, Jesus said that if you declare him before men, he will declare you before the Father. This is one way to say, I'm not ashamed of the Jesus that I'm asking to save me. How many of you made Jesus your Lord and it was the best thing you ever did? Hallelujah. So you're not the only one here today. There's a whole group of people that have made this decision with you. Praise the Lord. So we just welcome you, of course. If you just made Jesus your Lord, you can't just go to church once and expect God to pour out all of his blessings. You need to be taught. You need to week in, week out, sit under the instruction of the Word of God. Amen? So don't let this be a one-time thing. Don't let it be a flash in the pan. Give your life to God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Will you stand to your feet? Let's go ahead and confess as we dismiss. Amen? Was our mind renewed today? Yes, it is. Let's go ahead and say it. One, two, ready, go. My mind is renewed. I will live for Christ. In the face of trial, I will say, greater is God that's in me. In the face of financial hardship, I will declare, I have a supply. Every trial only serves to make me stronger. I have victory in Christ. I am a champion through God, and nothing shall make me afraid. Hallelujah. Father, we glorify you today. We give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen. You're dismissed.